broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everybody, to today's episode of Refresh Your Wealth with yours truly, Mark Kohler, and my amazing co-host, Matt Sorensen. It is the last show, podcast, dissertation, whatever you want to call it, of the year of 2019. Boy, did it fly by. You ready for 2020, Matt?
When you say dissertation, that makes it sound really exciting. Like, does anybody read those except people who are paid to read them? Like the professors?
I've got a neighbor that's getting his doctorate, so maybe that word was on my mind. That
flew in. Okay.
All right. Yeah, because he's like, I'm preparing to give my dissertation. I'm like, oof. He told me what it was on, and I'm like, ooh, it's worse giving it or listening to it. And he felt the same way.
I feel that. Well, this is, we'll be talking about the new year and everything, but it's crazy to believe 2019 has flown by. There's so much going on in the news and everything, and couple legal updates and tax updates we'll be giving today. But because of this special time of year, the most wonderful time of the year, we want to talk about gifting and giving to charities and doing good in the world and maybe getting a tax deduction along the way. So it's funny because I always get these questions around the holidays from family members. Hey, we want to give some money to our kids, or it's never my parents, but at least not to me. The family members, they always ask, want to give some money, or there's people making their charitable contributions or trying to settle up on their tithing with their church, and or also just making plans for maybe a nonprofit, or, I don't know. So these questions, for whatever reason, people see their family this time of year, they seem to pop up. And I know some people get a nice little Christmas present at year end like this, those people born into those fortunate families of, you just got some little interest in this transferred to you, and here's your yearly free gift of money.
Yeah.
But anyways, we're going to talk all about that.
Yeah, I love it. And it's all the above. We're going to hit quite a bit. Now, we're going to also do our regular tax and legal tip, which I think will be very helpful, that are completely off this topic. So if many of our folks that listen to the show regularly are doing a long commute, it's the holidays. So maybe you're cooking in the kitchen, you're like, I got to catch up on my podcasts, or you're driving home from grandma's or something. Hopefully you're on the road and catching this, and we're going to try to make that time fly by a little more enjoyably with some great anecdotes and tips and strategies. And this is not just about writing a check this week as well, or doing something for charity this week. It may be you're feeling, I need to do some long-term charitable planning. And so we're going to talk about that as well. So all the above. So.
Yeah. Well, before we get into that, of course, we do have some tips. You want me to go first?
Yeah. I don't know. And anything just real quick, anything special you received for Christmas that you were excited about?
Ooh, good question. My kids got me some good presents this year. So
you know what? My kids really came through this year too.
Yeah. I like the presents I got from my kids. So I got some cologne.
Okay.
Versace.
You needed that?
Yeah. My brand is Hugo Boss Essential.
You're changing it up?
That's my normal, my normal brand, but I'm going to change it up. I actually liked it. So
okay.
I got a great tie, the typical dad presents, but it's really the stuff I like. So the socks, tie, the cologne.
Well, after your tip, then I'll share my favorite gift. So
okay,
it's good stuff. Right. So you're doing the tax tip this week, right?
Yeah, let's call this a tax tip.
All right.
Okay, well, let's hit it.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right. Today's tax tip. This is hot off of the press of Congress, out of the sausage maker, fresh out of the sausage maker in Washington, D.C.
Is it passed? This is signed, delivered?
We're waiting for the president to sign it. This is the SECURE Act. Okay.
I'm actually excited for this tip. I know you've been kind of following this, and I need an update.
So this has been followed a lot in the last year in the news. This is kind of a retirement plan bill that has two big changes.
Hold it. You mean there's something else in the news besides how Trump might get impeached and how Trump did something wrong and how the media loves to, whether you're pro Trump or hate Trump, I am sick of it.
Yeah.
Kind of like, so you found some newsworthy information that was not about Trump.
Congress is actually doing something too right now.
Okay.
They're multitasking. They're impeaching. They're passing laws. You know, they're doing it all right now.
Okay. So when they weren't on news impeaching Trump, what did they pass, Mr. Sorensen?
This is called the SECURE Act. Now, I want you to know two things. There's a lot in this that will not fit into a tip, but there are two things that are really important. One just came up in a consult this morning I had with some clients. They had a huge self-directed IRA of over $3 million. They bought tons of single-family rentals over the years. They've been doing it for 15 years. And they're 69. And they were asking questions about how are we going to start taking RMD? We need to start planning for this. We need to start selling properties. Because, you know, if you got over a $3 million IRA, you got to start taking. And by the way, they didn't start at that. Okay, keep that in mind. They worked their butts off to get this, and they have about 15 properties maybe. So anyways, what's going on though is the law, this new SECURE Act was passed and increased the RMD age to 72. There used to be an age that Congress said, the laws, you had to start taking money out of your IRA when you reach 70 and a half.
That's called an RMD, everybody. Matt just rolled off his tongue right there. RMD, that's a required minimum distribution. The government does not want you to die with money in your IRA. So at some point, 70 years old and a half previously, they said, start taking a check. But.
Exactly. But now you're getting till 72. You bought yourself a year and a half longer, and they got rid of the whole half year thing because that was confusing.
People that was so stupid.
When do I turn 70 and a half? Oh, you know, and then it's actually, you have to calculate till April 15th the following year. It's a tricky rule.
You know what? It's kind of a dumb thing too, because once you're over age 50, most people can't even remember what age they're. I don't know what age. And then they've got to know half. Have you talked to a 70-year-old lately?
They're not,
this is not on their schedule.
Yeah. No.
They barely remember their birthday.
Yeah. So these clients, 69, were like, I'm like, hey, you guys got some time. Don't stress, but let's plan now and start thinking about, you know, selling some assets or making sure there's cash available. There's lots of good cash flow. So that's the first change. RMD has been extended from 70 and a half to 72. Now, Congress never gives you something great. They always give you something and they take something away.
Oh, so that was great. So now
we like that, right? I like that I'm able to delay RMD.
Because you paid taxes later, so the government's got to make up for that.
Right.
Okay. So what's the bad news?
The stretch IRA.
You started out by saying there's good news and bad news.
Yeah. Well, you know, I thought that was assumed when the Congress did something.
True. Good news and bad news.
Yeah. So the stretch IRA, as it has been known, where you can inherit a retirement account from someone else. This doesn't apply to spouses because spouses can just do what's called a spousal rollover. It's awesome. It just goes into your name. But everyone else that inherits an account from someone like kids or any other beneficiaries, someone dies and you inherit an account. You used to be able to take that account out over your life expectancy. So if you're, let's say your parents passed away at, you know, age 70 and you're 40 and you inherit their account, you get to take that account over your life expectancy, which is like another 45 years. That's how inherited account rules work right now for Roths and traditionals. It's awesome. But the new law is going to restrict that to say inherited account may only exist for 10 years. But you have 10 years to pull everything out. So it's killing the inherited strategy, not killing it, but significantly limiting the inherited strategy. Still good. You got 10 years to extend it. And basically keep that money tax deferred and in that tax favorable account, tax free for the Roths. But it's got a 10-year window now on it, according to the SECURE Act. Right, your congressman? I know Mark Kohler doesn't like this. I can see the face he's making, you know.
Okay, right. Let me put this in real terms for someone out there that's like, why is this so bad? I just got punched to the gut. I hate this. I didn't think that was actually going to get signed, but Trump's expected to sign it, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
There are a lot of tax
everybody, here's what's too, cool. So. Your grandma, like this, I was doing this with my mom. You want to go to your mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, and say, hey, I'll give you $5,000. Open up a Roth IRA for me, pop it in there, and make me the beneficiary. Won't cost you anything. I'll give you the $5,000 to do it. And grandpa, grandma, grandma, whatever, mom, dad, they're happy. They do it. Well, when they pass away, you inherited this Roth IRA that you could keep investing. And the RMDs were minuscule because they were based over your life expectancy. You could invest this, make money, and pull it out tax-free anytime as long as you took that RMD every year. Now, that's right. With the Roth, an inherited Roth, I had to do RMDs over my life expectancy. Did I say all that right, Matt?
Correct, yep.
Now it's only over 10 years?
Yes, I know. Oh. I know. Hey.
What are the Republicans doing? What the freak? I'd rather have the stretch IRA than the 72.
Me too. But you're going to have to run for Congress. Mark Kohler for Congress.
Oh my gosh, that's not going to happen. I stick my foot in my mouth like 9 times a day. I'd be like a reporter's, you know, best dream to like, oh, I can cover this guy and get sound bites of idiotic statements every day.
Hey, yeah.
I could never do it.
You could be president one day.
I guess maybe my theory.
Yeah, don't you worry. It's okay. Say whatever you want.
I can just tweet whatever I want and still be president?
Yeah,
you're kidding me.
Yeah, I think, you know. Good
catch there.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Well, that's the Secure Act. So you can check it out. There's been a lot of press on it. There's some other things in it for employer plans that, frankly, only big corporations care much about. But those are a couple of key things, I think, for the everyday investors, those with IRAs and those in getting to retirement age, just important to the two most important things to think about. And we'll be doing a much longer blog article on this once it passes to give you the down and dirty.
Okay. Now I want to find some silver lining here real quick. So I inherit this Roth IRA from grandma, grandpa, mom, dad. And now if it's your spouse, don't stress. You can just roll it into your own Roth and you're good.
Exactly.
Okay. But if I inherit it from someone else other than my spouse, I can invest it like crazy, take out my RMDs divided over 10 years. So if I had $1 million, I'd have to take out $100,000 a year, theoretically.
Essentially, yes.
Okay. So I take the balance of what's in the Roth when they die, I put it into this stretch Roth, and over 10 years, I've got to slowly whittle it down. But I'm investing it like crazy. Mm-hmm. So I make $1 million. Okay, Matt, this is good. So I have $1 million. Mm-hmm. The first year I take up my $100,000, I got 900 left. Oh, but I do a rehab or a fix and flip, or I go out and do something big. I made $100,000. I'm back to $1 million. Now is the million divided by 9 the next year? And so then I'd have to take out
divided by the account balance. So every year
account you balance divided by 9
at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Divided by the rest of the year. Well, it's not by the year. You get a factor. It's not, you know, RMD is not a fixed amount every year. The percent goes up.
Okay. So it's 10% the first year. Wouldn't the second year be 9 divided by 10, 8 divided by 10, 7 divided by 10? So by the end of the last year, whatever's left in there, I got to take that out by the last year.
Right. I'm just saying it's not 100,000 every year because the numerator?
It's readjusted.
I don't know what changed. Right. It's adjusting because your investment value's gone up.
You're changing the numerator and the denominator.
Yeah.
You're changing the amount and over 9/10. It's got to be gone in 9 years.
Correct. Correct.
Gosh, that sucks.
I know. So I say, Mark Kohler for Congress.
That's the worst news I've heard all day.
Okay. I got nothing else, you know.
Okay.
What can I say?
Don't make me stand up for Congress. I'm sorry, everybody, about Matt Sorensen and his Debbie Downer tip, but it's not his fault. Don't kill the messenger.
That's right.
Just
hey, I thought better you know now, you know. I want you to be in the know, whether it's good news or bad, you know.
That's right. That's what we're about here.
That's what we're about. This is okay. You need to know.
Okay. All right. Well, before my tip, I'll just say anecdotally, my son and daughter-in-law got me a laptop, which was huge.
Wow.
I know. And then my other daughter, and I don't want to take away, my kids don't listen to my show, so I can just say whatever I want. My wife's not listening either. Everybody's gotten sick of listening to me. I can't even make a speech on Christmas Eve without everybody rolling their eyes. So Somebody, I don't know, okay, come by the Kohler house. You may want to listen to me, but my family, it's, you're never a prophet in your own land. Anyway, so, and then my other daughter got me a really nice fountain pen, but it's a rollerball, which I'm a big fan of the rollerball pen, which I don't like the ballpoint. They're really nice. If none of you have had a good rollerball fountain pen, look for it. They're a treasure. And then my son and daughter-in-law that got me a laptop was way over the top. They were so kind and they saved up for it, which was just insane. They're young, they're eating top ramen every night, and they both work here in the office, but they're moving soon. And I'm just so proud of them. And cause they said they had me open it in the office. Cause they're like, everybody knew you're so cheap. You'd never buy yourself a new laptop. Everybody in the family has a newer laptop than me. I'm right now I'm on this MacBook 2001 Pro even.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is good. This
That's fun. Cool.
So someday, guys, for those that have young children, someday it'll pay off. It will. It'll be one day and then you might get a laptop. There you go.
Nice.
So, all right. I'm going to throw in a killer legal tip.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. Here's my legal tip. And this is kind of a clean house item, which I really like this time of year. It's a good New Year's resolution topic. And Matt and I usually do a strategic plan show in early January. And I've got a new calendar out. Here's where I can give my plug. Okay, so I designed in conjunction with Matt Sorensen, the law firm and accounting firm, the MJK Strategic Plan Entrepreneur Calendar. It's a planner that you can carry around with you, lightweight, cheaper and better than Dave Ramsey's. It's handy, it's easy to carry around. And I know some of you are like, I got a smartphone, what do I need a planner for? Trust me, putting things down in writing, the old school method still helps. Because I want you to write down your 10-year plan, your strat plan for the year, have it handy for calendaring. We've got all the tax deadlines on it, and it's $24.99 free shipping. And you can get it at any of our websites. It's a great calendar. Once it sells out, it's out. I'm not printing anymore because they're expensive to print. I got to print 1,000 of them to get them at a decent price. So I'm going to recommend all of you get those. So we'll come back to that. But this is the time of year to get your crap together, organize, get your strategic plan done for the new year. And here's my tip. And this is so important. I had a couple stories in the last few weeks that really shook me up with this. You need a fireproof safe somewhere in your apartment, in your house, wherever you live, in a trailer, in an RV, wherever it is. And you can get very slim, smaller ones at Target and Walmart, online even. They have some great deals. I gave away a safe on my at my workshop in Orange County, one in the room and one for those that were watching virtually. But it's sad. There's I've known some people that had lost their home to a fire. And I know that's weird. Houses just don't burn down.
My neighbor's house burnt down, you know.
What?
Yeah. In Cedar City, back when I lived back there. Yeah. My next door neighbor's house burnt down.
Wow.
It was, I mean, they were able to salvage it, but I mean, when the fire department came, it was like, I mean, they basically redid the whole house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and it could be a hurricane. It could be a flood. It could be a fire. How many people had their homes destroyed by California fire? This last year, then we had the hurricane season. There's always
Miley Cyrus did, you know.
That's right. I hope she had a fireproof safe, Miley. But you know, it's not just emergencies, also, and maybe a potential disaster. It's also about getting your life organized. And in that fireproof safe, I want you to have your passports in there, so they're not. Because how many of you? Seriously, you're like, oh my gosh, we're going to go on a cruise or we're going to go to Mexico or Canada, and it's no longer across the border with the driver's license crap. You got to have a passport wherever you go.
Yeah.
And you start looking around, and then you're rushing to pay some service, an astronomical amount, to get your passport in the last week before you go. Get organized. Have a fireproof safe with your passports, maybe deeds to your vehicles, your home, anything that's paid off, insurance policies, life insurance policy. How many of you right now listening, if I said within the next 30 minutes, I want you to get any life insurance policies you have in front of me right now? I'd be, some of you, tough, right? Where are they at? They're in a drawer. They're in a cabinet. I don't know. I got to call the insurance company. I got to log in. Hey, if you died tomorrow, is your family even going to find it? Seriously, is your beneficiaries up to date? So I think it all starts, the slippery slope, the gateway drug to getting organized is a fireproof safe. Because you get that and you put, and you're like, you look at it and you're like, I got to put some crap in this. And it kind of gets you organized. So that's my legal tip. Put some cash in it for an emergency. If some of you are collecting some silver or gold or some currency, and if you're a prepper, you know what I'm talking about. There's people out there that are big on, you know, doomsday type stuff. But hey, emergencies happen. And so it's important. Which, Matt, I am preparing your Christmas gift, and it's kind of related to this. So you're going to love it. It's going to be okay. Good. It's late. I already told Matt his Christmas gift was coming late this year. I'm so whatever, but I've got a good one. It's going to, there's really time and effort going into this. So.
Okay. All right. I'm excited.
So there's my legal tip. Do you have a fireproof safe, Matt?
I do have a little kind of like a strong box-ish thing. Okay. You know, it's like a safe. Yeah.
But maybe not fireproof.
Yeah, but it waterproof. can only hold about 200,000 in cash, so I do need a bigger one.
Yeah, mine can only hold 3 handguns and so you know,
yeah, I need
5 passports and under aliases, kind of like Jason Bourne's in Switzerland.
Yeah, yeah. So I need to go big on that. I need to, you know, what do they call it? Upsize, upgrade? I don't know. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Super size. That's what I need. Dang it.
Great show, by the way.
Okay. Well, I love the tip, Mark. Good tip. Also, remember to give someone the password or code.
Yeah.
Right? And there's no sense having a safe no one can get into.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's get to the main topic. Yeah.
Okay.
You ready?
Right. Well, okay. Let's talk about some preliminary points and I'll set the table for you, Matt.
Yeah.
So, before we talk about the ways to make a charitable contribution or how you could build a charitable life, let's just talk about making sure you have your head straight in the process. I'm just going to open it up by saying this. Sometimes I have people come in that are like, call me up from across the country and they're like, Mark, I want to set up a charity. No problem. We set them up all the time. Love to set up charitable projects and 501c3s or C7, C6s, whatever we're doing. And I go, okay, cool. How are you going to make the world a better place? And either 3 things happen. One, they've got a great idea. They've got the financial wherewithal. It makes sense. And there's no ulterior motive. It's just like clean. I love it. Let's set this up. Number two, and I know, Matt, you've got a follow-up to this, but number two, it's some sort of strategy where they're going to make money off of it. It's like, well, this charity is going to be a sister company in my company, and then we're going to get donations, and we're going to use it over here to hire this. And 9 times out of 10, it falls apart. It doesn't work. The IRS is keen on this. They do not want you setting up a nonprofit to somehow benefit your company or an easier way to get licensure in your state to do whatever you want to do or raise money. So be careful with that. Charitable entities are for charity. And then third, their own finances are a disaster. I'm like, okay, so how are you making a living? Well, it's a little tight right now. I got some credit card debt. How's your business? Well, it's limping along. How's your job? Well, my wife or husband, they have a good job, but mine sucks. And I'm like, why are you setting up a charity? Well, I really feel it's my calling in my life and I need to do this. And I'm like, okay, I get that. But you need to have your own house in order first, bud. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, okay, you're right. And so I kind of talk them off the cliff and like, before you can give someone else a fish, you gotta be ready to take care of your own world first. So those 3 things happen all the time. And so when we talk about giving and charity, let's make sure we have the right reason, we've got the wherewithal to do it, and there's not an ulterior motive. So Matt, I just wanted to throw that out.
Yeah, and I think that goes for any type of giving, whether it's doing a nonprofit and all that charitable giving, make sure you're taking care of yourself, you know, your family. And, but also all this gifting and stuff and giving is, that's, it needs to come from true charitable intentions. That's what the tax code is built around. So when we start talking about some of the tax benefits of it, you blow the rules if you're trying to personally make money on it, besides just getting a cool tax deduction because you gave to a real charity. So, and let's just start with that. I think let's just start about the easy stuff that most people are doing and talk about some of the other things you might want to think about and some of you are doing. And obviously, as Mark said, we're always setting up nonprofits. We got a lot of clients doing cool things that they care about. We also got clients gifting appreciated assets, people doing creative things in their estate plan. You know, so there's other little things to know that we think would be helpful to hit in the show. So let's start on first base.
Yeah, sure. So
let's go to first.
I like what you kind of said is making sure the charity is legit. I knew you wanted to say something about that.
Yeah. If you want to hit it after I give first base.
Oh, no. You got one better than that, first base? I thought that was kind of
first. Oh, making sure it's okay. Make sure the charity you're giving my to is okay.
Yeah, I thought that was what that's you first was, base. Okay, what's your first base?
Yeah, well, I was maybe getting up to bat, you know.
I don't want flashbacks of your high school experience and what you talked about in the locker room.
Yeah.
It's just, let's forget the baseball metaphor, can we?
Yeah. Yeah. how did baseball going to first, second, third base get ruined by, you know, explaining your date?
Yeah.
So, but seriously, getting up to bat, I think is because you want to be at a legit place that you're giving money to. Mm-hmm. Is the church you're attending a real church? I mean, you presume it is, but most people are, you know, most of us are going to, if you're going to church and giving to your church, I mean, that's a charitable organization, right? And most of those churches, if they know what they're doing, you're going to get a statement that says, you know, you get a written statement of how much you contributed to the church. And this is going to be your charitable deduction. This is the most common way people are giving to charity. You find a legit charity and you give money to it, whether this is the American Red Cross, your church, your local charity you support. There's, you know, your this universities or schools that are charitable organizations too that you get a tax deduction for giving to. So, and I don't mean, you know, paying tuition for your kids. I'm talking about, you know, true charitable deductions. So those are the places that you're getting the charitable deduction. Now, this charitable deduction only helps you if you are itemizing on your tax return. Now, with the standard deduction, which went up after tax reform went into effect for 2018, you know, the standard deduction is $24,000 for married couples. So unless you've got mortgage interest and charitable deductions that exceed $24,000, frankly, you're giving and getting zero tax deduction because you're already going to get $24,000 as a deduction. So you should know now, am I actually, you know, what's my mortgage interest deduction? What are my other deductions I'm getting? You should know whether you're doing itemized deductions or not, because that determines whether you're actually getting the benefit of this charitable giving from a tax standpoint.
I like it. And some of you out there, like, I've met a lot of people over the years as an accountant, you know, that I hear people's, you know, kind of take on taxation, and obviously, right, people are going to share their personal bent on things. And it's funny, I've met a lot of people that are really upset that if you're going to give to charity, you shouldn't even think about the tax deduction, just give to charity.
Yeah.
And so for those out there, you might be really offended by us trying to make sure it's a write-off. And because you're like, if you're giving to charity, you should just give to charity. Don't worry about the write-off. But hey, if the government's willing to give you something for it, my take is it's, why not? It's low hanging fruit. And if some of you are motivated to give to charity because it is a write-off and that's the only reason you do it, hey, it's better than nothing. You know, it makes the world a little better place. And I don't want to take that away from you. So let's not worry about maybe are you altruistic in your giving reasons and purposes. Mm-hmm. But you need to know if the tax deduction is important to you. I like that Matt pointed out the itemizing issue. Find out how much. Call your tax person, look at your last year's tax return and go, wow, under this new Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, am I even itemizing? Because if I'm not, maybe that charitable write-off isn't happening.
And just think, do you have more than $24,000 in mortgage interest and charitable contributions for the year? Those are the big ones that most people are itemizing, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, in taxes, you got your
state income tax, but that's max of 10. Tax. Yeah. So that would help too. Yeah. Those are the three amigos
Those are it. Those are the three. Because medical's a joke. Yeah. So
remember the three amigos?
Yeah.
Dusty Bottoms, that. Ned Niedlander, and what's the Lucky?
Man, I'm impressed.
Seeing Chevy Chase and Christmas Vacation, I always go back to Three Amigos, my other favorite Chevy Chase movie. And he's got the funniest character, Dusty Bottoms.
I go to Fletch.
Oh, that's right. Fletch. You are right.
I'm a Fletch fan. But I like Three Amigos.
Yeah.
Before we get Mark Kohler off on a tangent, let's start those regulars on the show. You're like, Matt, you're playing with your fire. Yeah. Be careful. I want to go back to this organization thing. I just, one last note is, not only did Matt say, make the point that you've got to check, you can go to the IRS database and they'll tell you if this is a legitimate 501c3. So you, besides checking on that, it's always important to know, what is this charity's position on administrative cost? There's been a lot of press over the years of XYZ, I won't bring up certain charities that are almost worldwide in nature, where mm-hmm. they're at a 30% administrative cost. So if you give $100, 30 of it's going to pay for office staff and phones and people, and then 70 yeah. actually gets to the real bottom line recipient. And that really bothers some people too. You're like, if I'm going to give to charity, I want that money, 99% of it, to go straight to the mm-hmm. to the recipient. And now that's hard because there has to be an organization behind the scenes making sure it's distributed properly and handled correctly. So I get that there is going to be some administrative cost, but what's that ratio? Is the charity you're giving to really efficient in their giving? And you should be able to go to their website. They're supposed to post their financials. You can do a little background on it. And this is why a lot of people set up their own charities, because they're like, I don't trust any of these charities. I think they suck, you know, at what they're doing. And so
yeah,
we'll come to that later. But just as you're looking at your organizations, not only are they eligible, but are they efficient? Is another mm-hmm. thought.
Like it. All right.
Okay. So good old cash, writing someone a check. On this note, I want to throw out credit card. You can actually give a donation by credit card before December 31st, and it's deductible this year, even though you don't pay the credit card bill until next year. So that's the one way to get around this. If you mail the check by the 31st, or you put it on the credit card before December mm-hmm. 31st, you get the write-off now. So I just wanted to throw that out as yeah. one of these tips as we go through this.
Like it. Okay. Let's hit giving an appreciated asset, maybe.
Okay. That sounds good.
You want to do that? Some of you may have an asset that has appreciated in value. Maybe this is real estate, some stock in a company, and you may have bought it. Let's say you bought some stock or real estate for $100,000 and now it's worth $1 million. Okay. You got a $900,000 gain. If you sold that asset, you'd have to pay tax on $900,000 gain, right? Mm-hmm. However, if you're like, you know what, I'd really like to give a lot to charity. And it's the same thing. Obviously you bought it for 10 and it's worth 100, right? I mean, it just, you know, $100,000, you got $900,000 gain. If you wanted to just give that whole $1 million to a charity, you can just give the asset to the charity. And if it's $1 million, you're going to have thousands of charities lining up, including your religious organization, if you have one, willing to take that. And what they do is they will receive the asset and they will sell it and they pay zero tax. So they'll get the full $1 million. So rather than you selling an asset, paying all the tax, giving them the cash after the fact, the IRS getting in on 20% capital gains tax, your state getting in on some income tax, you're giving the full $1 million value to the charity who gets to sell it and get the cash, and they get to keep all of it. So that's gifting of an appreciated asset. A lot of wealthy people do this with their charitable contributions to their churches for tithing. Many people, you know, again, later on in life, as you have appreciated assets that you've held for a long time that you have a low basis on, that you may have a large gain, will like to gift in this way. And it's a very tax efficient way to do it. Generally, you're not going to find charities interested in doing it if we're talking about the asset you bought for $10,000 that's now worth $100,000, because it's kind of a pain for them. But they'll definitely do it for the asset you bought for $100,000 that's now worth $1 million. You know, there's a million reasons why they do that. So that's gifting of an appreciated asset. You can avoid the tax and the capital gains, but you do have to give the whole asset away to the charitable organization.
Okay, and I like that. And one thought is, this is going to require a form when you do this. It's form 8283. Your accountant will know this, but it's very important that you keep the best records you can. It'll cost you more in tax reporting later to have your accountant track down your basis in the security or the property, what was its fair market value when you donated it. And so you might want to look up on some of the rules so that you collect the right data when you do it. So that way you're not having to go back 9 months, 12 months later and be like, okay, what did I need to get? Why didn't I know that? And so these are all sorts of really important questions. I'll just go through some of them. The date you acquired it, how you acquired it, what was your basis in it, how much you received, if any money, when you donated it, what was its appraised fair market value, which could require a legitimate appraisal. But Matt's got a good point. Mm-hmm. You don't want to sell this property and then just give it to charity. You're going to pay the tax in the middle. Just give the charity the asset and fill out a little paperwork. It's going to save you a ton. Even if you have to pay for a freaking appraisal, it's worth it. So don't be dismayed by that reporting procedure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, did you have anything else? I was going to switch to another type of donation, Matt.
Yeah. Let's
okay.
I will yield to the gentleman from Idaho. All this impeachment talk and yielding, and I have a balance of my time. And
okay. And then I'm going to come to you on this giving an IRA, from an IRA to charity, which I know you know really well. Okay. So what I'm going to take everybody through, and this is kind of tricky, is you drive by Salvation Army, Goodwill, DI, whatever the name of the place is, and you're going to just drop off some crap, you know, stuff that you can't sell on Craigslist or eBay. You're like, I'm just going to get it to charity. It's old clothes, old furniture. And I know everybody listening to this at one point or the other, even if you're young, your parents would make you do this. Go through your room and give me anything you want to give to Goodwill. You know, growing up, that was like, let's clear your house, your room out. You know, it's a mess. So this is called a non-cash donation. It's not appreciated. Trust me, this crap you're dropping off is different than the appreciated stock or real estate or securities that Matt was talking about. This is stuff that's worth less than what you bought it for, okay? So you drive through the drive-thru and you drop this crap off. All right, here's some important rules. If it's under $250, and for some of you that are living really affordable, you know, cheaply, you're single, you don't have a lot, and you rarely go to Goodwill, you don't even have to worry about the receipt. If it's under $250, forget about it. And frankly, if you're not itemizing again, for all of you that are not itemizing, you're like, I don't have a big mortgage. I don't have a lot of state tax. And I'm not giving away more than 10 or 20 grand a year. You just burn through there. Don't even ask for a receipt. But if you are using the itemized deduction strategy and it's over $250, you need to get a receipt. So under 250, no receipt. Over 250, receipt. Then if you're going to give more than $500 of garbage from your house, you have to fill out that same form 8283. Now it's okay. It's not as critical of a form because you're not giving these thousands of dollars of appreciated stock or real estate and you need the traded value or the appraisal, but it's still stuff. And so you've got to fill out that form 8283. It's good to get a receipt. Now, what I have a lot of clients do over the years, and most accountants know this, we just take $500 because I myself do this, and I'm not trying to be fraudulent or unethical in my tax return, but I know I'm going to drop crap off at Goodwill or a Salvation Army or DI two or three times a year. And it's going to be probably worth more than $500. But I don't want to fill out the form 8283. And unless it's a really big piece of furniture or appliances that I'm going to drop off at the Goodwill, I'm just going to take $500. Done. I keep a receipt, take it for $500. So when you're going through the drive-thru and they go, do you need a receipt? You're like, yeah, write it for $500. And they'll write it for whatever you want. Sometimes they just give you the receipt and you fill it out. Put the date and how much you dropped off. $500. Done. Mm-hmm. If it's more than $500, you're going to have to do a more of an itemized procedure and take a picture of what you're doing so you can remember. But that's kind of the rule for depreciated crap you're dropping off. I can't talk, like, that's the best way to call it, I think. So Matt, anything you'd add to on that?
No. Yeah. And I always love it when I go to drop stuff off. Like, do you want a receipt with that? I'm like, yes. And I'm going to put $10,000 was the value of, because I don't even fill it out. It's like, I don't know why the IRS wants these receipts, but whatever. I mean, it's tax reporting is all kind of on your honor system. So, all right, well, let me hit the IRA topic though. So this is another cool strategy that has some little tax perks to it. Again, this is, we want you to give, but also get a sweet little tax perk on it.
Yep. So we're going to come to car, boats, planes, you know, there's a lot more to talk about here, folks. We're just kind of checking these off the list. I love it. So you want to give money from your IRA. And I always have to call Matt when I do this too. So this is good.
Yeah. So if you are at RMD age, which used to be 70 and a half and is going to, starting in 2020, is going to be 72, you are required to take RMD, as I mentioned earlier in my tip. And this is those for traditional SEPs, you know, those types of accounts. However, you can donate money as what's called a qualified charitable distribution from your, let's say, traditional IRA, and you're 72 now. You can donate that directly to a charity by having your IRA administrator or custodian send the money directly to a charitable organization. It can satisfy your required minimum distribution, and it is not taxable income to you. So if I had, you know, if I was taking a 50 grand from my traditional IRA out and receiving it myself, and this is traditional money, right? I'm going to take $50,000 in income. Then I'm going to give it to a charity and I'm going to get a charitable deduction, but I've only got a deduction, right? So if I instead give the money directly to a charity, it's not a taxable distribution. It satisfies my RMD. You can actually do it up to a total of $100,000. But this only counts for those in RMD. So if you're 50 and you want to do this, it doesn't work. You got to wait till you're 72. Now under the new rule, and you can give up to 100 grand. You can send them right out of your IRA directly. And it's very common. Most of the larger IRA administrators are familiar with this. We know how to do it here at Directed IRA, directedira.com. If you want to do this strategy. So that's the qualified charitable distribution. It's just a good way around having your retirement plan distributions go into your taxable income.
Okay. I'm going to just digress. Everybody listening, this is so important. This is going back to Matt's tax tip today, because we brought up this 70 and a half, 72, and my mind has just been racing since I heard this terrible new rule of 10 years on a stretch IRA. If someone died this year, Matt, and they're leaving me an IRA, and it's not my spouse, and or they might die in the next 5 days before January 31st. And I know someone listening could have a family member at the hospital, whatever. Could I open up the stretch IRA before December 31st and get the old rules?
Yes. I think those under the old rule are all grandfathered in.
Do you think I have to roll the money in or just open the stretch IRA? Mm-hmm. If I just had it open, I have a stretch IRA I'm opening and the money's coming, but the person's already died in 19. You think it'll work?
Then I think you're good. I think as long as the person died in 19, it's going to work because you still have some time after that. But yes, I think those already in place with the stretches are going to get this, the old rule. That's what I understood. You know, and any, so
we should put this in the newsletter this week. If you're inheriting,
once the law passes, I'm going to do a lengthy article that'll go into detail. There's some other couple things people should know besides just the stretch and the 72 age change for RMD, but we'll give much more detail on that.
Okay, I'm going to write that down. Open a stretch IRA before December 31st. If someone died this year and you're the beneficiary, get it done before December 31st, just so that you're not worried about this. Maybe
right.
It would help.
Yeah.
Whew. Okay. Good stuff. All right. Back to our topic at hand. I've got another one. Let's say now this is a law that changed in the last 10 years. So many of you got to know this, because you would think I know many of you think it's different than what it really is. Let's say I'm going to give a car, boat, or plane. Maybe it's appreciated, maybe it hasn't, but you're going to give a car, boat, or plane. Now, this is not stock that can just be valued right there and then the charity's going to sell it. And it's not real estate, it's personal property. Okay, that's very different. Real property is land, stocks and securities. Or land and building, real property, stocks and securities, then you've got this personal property category. Now, believe it or not, there's cases in Supreme Court of the United States and tax court, thousands of them. Can you believe this, people? Okay. So let's say I'm going to give my car, boat, or plane to a charity. Mm-hmm. Now, this, you, many of you have heard these, and you're going to maybe hear them in the next 5 days.
NPR and all NPR. Those places, like, give the car, you know, you got an old junker hanging around, give it to whatever.
Yeah. And you're like, well, this is worth so much. Oh, this is awesome. I'm going to give him my old piece of crap car that's really worth, you know, $2,500. I'm going to give it to this charity. Now, here's the rule. If the charity ends up using the property, the car, so they're going to actually use it in their organization, mm-hmm. you get the appraised value. So if it's worth $2,500, blue book value, that's what people used to do. They give these cars at year end, they'd pull up the blue book value, highest value, take it, write it on their tax return. And then what would NPR or these charities do? They turn around and sell it for whatever the freak they could get. And these were pieces of crap. And so maybe they get $1,000, even though the blue book said it was higher, right? We know there's going to be a difference. And I can't imagine NPR people running out of the studio and, you know, detailing the car to make it look nice. They might, but they're probably going to use a service, right? They're going to just sell this thing. So here's the deal. If the charity you give it to doesn't use that item, whether a car, boat, or plane, in their operations, but they sell it, you get the deduction of whatever they sold it for. And they're going to send you a form 1098C, as in Charlie. And so you have to ask them when you go to the charity, you're going to go, hey, I'm going to give you this. Are you going to use it or sell it? And they're like, probably going to sell it. Well, whatever you do, I need the 1098C. And then that's going to go onto your, attached to your form 8283. Because the IRS wants you to get the write-off of what they actually sold it for, or did they actually use it? And the charity's got to verify that. So it's not as easy as just pulling up to a charity and throwing them the keys to your clunker. You got to have a conversation.
Yeah, there's like Cars for Kids. There's a lot of those places that have kind of gotten into, we'll take your car. It seems to be a kind of like a service. People have old cars that just like don't know what to do with and they want to get rid of them. Well, I'll get a tax deduction, let it go to a nonprofit. I like it. I like the idea. I mean, it's great, great little idea. Solve some problems for people and put some resources to work in a charity. So cool. Yeah. Like that.
Okay.
I want to hit one other topic.
Okay. Now, before we do the big charitable thing, have you got a little easy low hanging fruit deduction? I was going to do mileage when you're ready. You just throw it back to me. Do you want to hit one and then come back to mileage?
Let's do mileage because I'm going to switch it up going to your estate.
Oh, okay. Big topic.
Let's hit the, you know, giving while you're living.
Okay. So here's you're alive and well, and there's the charitable mileage deduction. Now, this is a big one because you might drive your car to for Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
You might. That's what I'm trying. Yeah. Or maybe you're driving around doing a food delivery every week for the food shelter, and that's something you do. You might drive to a hospital and donate time at a hospital once a week. Now, any charitable driving that's not for your regular church service is charitable. So if you go to maybe a temple or a synagogue or whatever, and it's not your normal Sunday or Saturday, whatever religion you go to, your regular church service once a week, you can't take mileage for that. But any other time you might go there during the week, donating time or services to the church or any other church related charitable service you might be doing, other than your Sunday Bible study or whatever your regular meeting is. That's mileage, charitable. Now, I just want to tell a funny quick anecdote on this because this deduction is never enough when you're a Scoutmaster. it was so funny. My wife hated it when I was Scoutmaster, when we had this nice SUV. Mm-hmm. We were in our first 10 years of marriage and I was a Scoutmaster and I had these 12-year-old boys that would just pile in this thing and we'd go camping. And 12-year-old boys are at that age where they're just realizing they really need to shower. It's a very awkward age.
Yeah.
Very smelly age.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's terrible. And so I'd come back from these campouts. Like my wife would be, oh, my gosh, the car smells so bad. And so I'd have to take like half a day detailing the car just to be in good graces so I could take it again. But the classic was one time we were going up the mountain. Matt, you know the mountain is up in Utah somewhere. And I remember driving and I'm smelling smoke. I'm like, is the car, is it brakes? Is it what? We're going up this mountain. No, it's not like car smoke. It's like fire smoke, like a campfire. Is there burning going on somewhere? And I look into my rearview mirror and I see smoke. Not outside of the car, inside the car. And I'm like, why is there smoke in the back of my SUV? So I'm like, and I pull over on the freeway because it's kind of main road. It's the one going up from Salt Lake to Park City. I just remember going up the canyon. And I pull over and I pop open the SUV.
Parley's Canyon.
And there's two scouts in the back out of their seatbelts. You know, this is a bigger SUV. Back out of their seatbelts in the back. And they're practicing their flint and steel starting equipment. And they're like, they're all excited. They're like, hey, Cole, look, we got a fire going. We did it. I'm like, you don't do it in the car. And there's like these burn patches all over in the carpet.
Oh my gosh.
In the back of the SUV. And I'm like, oh my gosh. This is when child abuse of another child.
12-year-old boys are so dumb.
I just want to smack them around. I was like, oh my gosh, give me that. Stop doing that. Get in your seatbelt. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're like, what? Anyway, oh my gosh.
Yes, I remember.
That trip had another twist and turn for another day. But it was so – anyway, so 14 cents a mile, not enough. But you take
what you can get, though.
You can get that. Okay. So
okay, like that.
Yeah. Okay, you talk about estate giving. But people, if you are driving your vehicle for any sort of charitable service, add up the miles at the end of the year and multiply it by 0.14 and add that to your donations. That's a good write-off. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So let's hit, I want to talk about just giving in your estate.
Okay.
I think everybody, when we do an estate plan in our office, we have a section about giving to charity. Do you want to make a specific amount or a specific asset to go to charity? And it's really a great time to think of your legacy and what you want to pass on and where do you want to make an impact with, you know, things you've accumulated over your life. So I always love to help clients in this section that are wanting to give to a charity, no matter what it is, what cause there is important to them and where they want to leave a legacy. So, now this really only helps you from a taxable standpoint. If your estate's worth more than 10 million single, 22 million, well, 11 million single, 22 million married. So for most people, this is not really a tax strategy about just giving directly in your estate. But it is a cool thing. Maybe you've accumulated a couple million in assets by the time you die, a few million, if you include your life insurance. It is maybe cool to give away a few hundred grand to the charity you love or the church or the university or whatever it is that's important to you. And you can put some strings on it. You know, I've helped clients that have set up found scholarship programs at universities, and the universities love helping with that and giving you some of the language that they need to make the gift so they can put it into use when you pass. Of course, churches are common to get them. I just wanted to say, throw that out. Think about that as you do your estate plan. It's a great time to make charitable contributions.
Yeah. And you don't have to be rich to do this. And this is using the SUV story of mine. During your life, you're like, I would never do that to my car. But you know, when I die, I do love the scouts. I'm going to give them my SUV, you know, or a trailer or something they can use in their scouting program or whatever, Girl Scouts, big brothers, big sisters, whatever you want to do. So most 99% of our clients, they're not interested in a tax break when they die. They're interested in leaving a little legacy, and that's good.
And now if you have 22 million or higher married estate, this is a tax strategy to avoid estate tax, because estate tax is almost 50%, and you know, you'll be sending the IRS half of everything on top of that. So you may want to get more creative for those fortunate ones that have that problem.
Yeah. And I just would throw out, I think you're worth more than you realize too. By the time you take the equity in your home, your retirement accounts, a little bit of life insurance on you or your spouse or whatever, you got $1 million. And you may say, well, my kids or my grandkids really want or need that, and I want to bless their lives in a creative way and put some strings on it. That's cool. But you know what? Maybe your kids don't need $1 million each. Maybe they could certainly survive on $900,000 each, and you could do $300,000 of really, really good things. So Yeah, I like that. We can always adjust your trust or will with a one-page deal. Yep. It doesn't have to be expensive to do either.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you want to get on that, seriously, talk to Ruby or Kathy in our office. Ruby or Kathy, make notes to call in and say, I'd like to do an amendment to my trust or will. And if you're dealing with a will and not a trust and you're trying to do charitable stuff, you need a trust anyway. But
right, yeah,
we can help you get that going.
That charitable organization is not going to be happy because where are they going to go to get their money? Probate court.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to spend $1,000 in legal fees to get your money.
Yeah. Okay, now before we get to the charitable structure for yourself, one last time of kind of something easy. This happens all the time as well. I shouldn't say all the time, but at least once a year. I have a doctor, an accountant, an architect, someone that's got a professional degree that wants to go give service professionally. Think of where this was a classic example. So I had a good doctor friend that literally he and his wife jumped on a plane and went to Haiti when that about 8-10 years ago, there was that huge hurricane and pretty much destroyed Haiti. They're still rebuilding. And a lot of doctors went over to provide medical care. And he's like, hey, Mark, I'm getting ready to go. I want to know I'm going to write all this off. I'm like, what do you mean write all this off? Well, and thank heavens. He's like, I'm just about ready to buy my plane ticket, hotel, and I'm taking all these supplies and I want to write off my time and all this. And so I'm like, whoa, okay, we need to have a talk. And so I'll hit a couple highlights. First of all, your time is not a write-off. So if you're a plumber and you're going to go help a safe house shelter for single moms and you're going to fix their plumbing, any tools and supplies you use are a write-off, and any labor you paid for employees that went with you is a write-off, and your mileage for your little van that you drove over there, your plumbing van, that's a write-off, but your time is not. For example, if Matt and I go and do a divorce to help out a young lady or young man in a divorce and we're going to just help them out, if I pay some filing fees or some paper or office supplies, I can write that off. I can't write off my time. So this doctor had a quick reality check when he wasn't going to get write off his hourly rate to go over to Haiti and serve.
Yeah.
So then number two, he's like, well, I can at least write off my plane ticket. No, you can't. Are you a charity? No. Did you give the money to a charity? No. Well, as far as the IRS is concerned, you're having a vacation in Haiti. What? This is ridiculous. Said, here's what Doctors Without Borders do. You go give them a call and tell them what you're doing. You give them the money. They'll buy the plane ticket for you. You can still choose your flight, but you got to give the money to a charity who's going to sponsor you going over there. And they will document everything you do and they'll help you out. And so it doesn't cost you any more, but you got to work through a charity. You just can't go buy a plane ticket and say, I'm going to go help down in Florida rebuild people's driveways with my chainsaw and cut trees down. No. Find helping hands or someone you're going to give the money to and they'll buy your plane ticket.
You're clearly making up these examples as you go. Right. You're clearly making up these examples as you go.
I thought they were good examples.
Chainsaw helping people with their driveway.
Yeah, helping hands. Did you see some of those? See all those trees blow down in people's driveways and guys with chainsaws cruised over there from Arkansas, drove over there and they were cutting down people's trees in their driveways and helping them get access to their homes. See, it's a good example.
Now it makes sense. It makes sense.
Because trees fall down in a hurricane and I just don't have a chainsaw. Do you have a chainsaw, Matt?
Yes.
You do?
I do not.
Oh, okay.
I do not.
No, yeah. I do not. I do not.
I have operated one, though.
Yeah. They're scary. They're dangerous. So. Okay. So, Matt, you're going to open your own charity someday. So, how do you do it?
Okay. Yes.
So, now we're to the creme de la creme.
Couple of key points. Yes. And we have a whole show on this, too, if you go to the podcast history, about starting a charity or nonprofit.
Yes.
But it's really two key things. Now, we're going to assume you have the idea, as Mark talked about at the beginning of the show. This is something you're not trying to make money off of. This is pure charitable thing you want to do. So here's what it takes. Two things. You're going to set up a nonprofit corporation. I had a call with a client today, actually, who has an LLC, wants to dissolve. He's like, can I turn that into a nonprofit? No, it's an LLC. Okay, you just start over, do a new corporation. This is not, you don't do an LLC. Okay. This is a corporation. It's a nonprofit that you file at the state level where you're going to be doing your nonprofit. And the second thing is you're going to get a request for nonprofit tax status treatment with the IRS. This is the hard part. The nonprofit corporation is easy with the state, or easier, I should say.
Yeah.
It's the application to the IRS that is more complicated. There's a lot of information that has to get put into there. They want your bylaws and your minutes and stuff that should have all the things about how you're going to run as a charity and such. And you're going to put down background information of those who will be on the board and who are kind of organizing this. But those are the two key parts. Now that charitable application can take 6 months to a year to get through. Now there are some little more, I don't want to say expedited, but there are some more streamlined ways if you have a kind of normal charity that's not a novel idea, where you can get approved now in more like 3 to 6 months as opposed to 6 to 12. So, but those are the two key parts: nonprofit tax status with the IRS, which is really what matters, the tax treatment, and then the nonprofit corporation at the state. We do those in the office. I don't know, $2,500 I think is what they cost.
We're three.
Yeah.
And you can raise the money to do that, and that's plus filing fees. And that includes the $3,000. I've had clients come to my office going, I spent $10,000, I'm into this year, and I still don't have a nonprofit, literally. And we got their nonprofit within 60 days, and they were good to go. So some of you go, well, it's cheaper than that. Sure, it is. If you can find a place that knows what they're doing, that's cool. You can also spend three times that and get nowhere. So we try to give a lot of customer service. We're out here. Yeah. We don't need you heckling us on the show. So we're going to make sure we follow through. But $3,000 we found is a fair price for the lot. It's a lot of work. It can take 3 to 6, 9 months sometimes to get approved. There's always back and forth with the IRS. But listen to that podcast. We talk about it in depth. And if you want to set up your own charity, it can be created upon your passing. It can be created now. You can have your own board of directors, your family's involved. Is it a foundation? There's so many variables. So look into it. And I think it's a great way to go if you feel like you've got a specific strategy that there's, and Matt, I'm going to say this too. If some of you want to do a charity, see if there's one out there already doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
It saves a lot of money and heartache and time if you can align yourself with someone that's doing exactly what you want to do, and you can support them with time, money, resources, and not have the headache of it all on your shoulders. But if you get out there and no one's helping put tennis shoes on kids in the south part of Ecuador, and that's where you want to benefit, and no one else is doing it, fine, let's set up your charity. Mm-hmm. And it could be an Indian reservation in Arizona. It could be a safe house in New Jersey for battered women. You know, I don't know, whatever you want to do. It could be helping.
I think they call them shelters, not safe houses. That's the, that's the Jason Bourne. We know the life you live, this is Jason, the rest. Yeah.
It's true.
Those of you, Mark is he's in covert operations. He's very much in deep cover as Mark Kohler, the CPA, author, attorney, scoutmaster, surfer.
Deep cover.
It's very deep cover. No one would suspect him.
Yeah. It's true.
You just revealed right there. That was your show. That was your tell.
My tell was safe house.
Safe house.
My handler at the CIA is going to call me up and go, don't use that word. you've been through training at Annapolis and everything. We've taken you through this. But apparently I'm not following protocol.
Nice.
These are all code words that we use, Matt, in the industry.
Yeah, in the industry.
You would know these words.
We call it procedure or the rules. You guys call it protocol. I get it.
Protocol. And we'll be debriefing you later, Matt, after the show do a debrief. All right.
I like it.
Well, okay. Well, I think we've covered almost everything charity. Give, receive. Whatever you give, you always receive tenfold. There's your touchy-feely moment. You'll get it back somehow, some way. Maybe not in a tax deduction, but some way.
Yeah. I like it. And if you would like to give us a 5-star review, we would very much appreciate it. And we might even do another podcast that's worth listening to.
Yeah.
So give us a 5-star review. It really does help people find the show, helps us appear in rankings to get new listeners. Tell your friends and family, and make sure you're signed up at refreshwealth.com. to get announcements on upcoming shows, things Mark and I are doing, and to get our newsletter with tax tips, deadlines, articles that can, you know, help save you money and better prepare for your future. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's eBooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.